You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Is just wrapped up. Brock Meyer, if he doesn't get an Emmy nomination this year, something is wrong. The season four just finished up. The series is now over. Seasons one through three are on Hulu, and season four will be as of June the 16th, just 5 days away. He is the great Hank Azaria, who joins us now on 98.7 ESPN. Good evening, sir.
Well, that's the best, might be the best intro I've ever gotten. And something is wrong if I don't get an Emmy nomination. Something is wrong. I don't know what.
See, this is what I want. I want honesty. This is, I mean, you know, yes, you deserve an Emmy nomination this year. There's no question.
it would be nice, but everybody's got bigger problems right now.
How you doing? How are you navigating the entire pandemic with your family? What are you guys doing?
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. I mostly try to find silver linings in the whole thing. I try to be positive, Chris. You know, as a Mets, Jets, Knicks fan, my default setting is not very positive. But, you know, over the years, I've learned to concentrate. You have to actively seek, you know, the positive. So I guess being a Mets, Jets, Knicks fan has prepared me in a unique way for what we're going through right now.
It's very fair to say. You know, it's refreshing to see owners and players arguing about money right now. I'll tell you what it is.
It's refreshing. Yes. It's like dew on a spring morning, isn't it?
Let me ask you this, though, as a baseball fan, okay? If we do get this 50-game season and you have a team that wins the World Series out of it, does it really mean anything?
Well, it will mean emotionally a lot to all of us, right, who are desperate for sports. Not being facetious, one of the silver linings that I'm imagining, we're not there yet, is, you know, the idea of watching any kind of professional American baseball game I'll be so grateful, I think. I mean, I was just saying to somebody today how what I wouldn't give to be whining about the Mets and Knicks right now under normal circumstances, which I would be doing if you know, we had sports as usual. But, yeah, I think we'll be really grateful to see any. And I don't know. I mean, you know, who cares, kind of. It's like I'd be so happy just to have any version of the sport back that even, like, with a big asterisk, I'd be happy to see any version of a season play out. Frankly, I mean, 50 games is a little brief, but in a way, I wouldn't mind seeing a shorter season where games mattered more. I know it'll never, ever, ever happen, but it's kind of a dream come true. See, I'm getting good at this silver lining thing.
You're talking yourself into it, and that's I've done that many times. Usually it doesn't work out well, but you're talking yourself into something.
Yeah, well, you know, it'll be kind of, I mean, you know, in the same way that, you know, every college football game matters because it affects whether you're going to be in the top four at the end of the year. And be amazing to see an entire baseball season where kind of every game mattered, wouldn't it?
It would be neat, but here's my problem with it. Like, if I were a Met fan and I'm sitting there and somehow they put together an incredible run this year and they go and they win the World Series, what's the first thing that everybody's going to say to me? Oh, well, it was a cheap one anyway. You know, it doesn't really count because it was a 50-game schedule. So if I'm the fan of that team, I almost don't want my team to win. And I'm not talking about during the season. I want them to give me joy and excitement. I almost don't want to win that title because I don't want people to have something over me. I'm always thinking, you're thinking of the silver lining. I'm thinking of the, how can you eventually stick it to me in this situation? I try to have that kind of foresight.
Well, yeah, it would be very Mets-like, I will admit that, to actually win the World Series in a 50-game pandemic season. That's for frickin' sure. But man, I would take, you know, then again, no one will ever forget it, right? Like, you, I can't tell you who won the World Series, you know, 8 years ago. No one would ever forget this one.
No, that's true.
Look at it that way.
Silver lining. Hank Azaria with us. I mentioned earlier that you were coming on, and something that we haven't talked about before, but was an incredibly popular show and you were a big part of, was Ray Donovan. And one of the fans wanted to know specifically about your experience working on Ray Donovan.
That was really cool. I just found out David Hollander, who ended up being the head writer of that show, I've been talking to him a bunch lately. He's a huge Pirates fan, by the way, Pittsburgh guy. Mm-hmm. Been talking to, and I guess one of his son's best friends just got drafted by the Mets, 19th.
Oh, not last
in L.A.
night. Yeah, the outfielder. Yeah.
Yes, I didn't know this until he just told me this. I guess my role on Ray Donovan was supposed to be Michael Keaton.
Really?
Who for some reason pulled out at the last minute. And it was my good fortune to come in there, and I really enjoyed it. The only downside of that for me was I had just moved back to New York after spending 27 years in Los Angeles, and Murphy's Law, you know, like literally the second I landed in New York, like, get this job in L.A., this great gig in L.A. And I almost didn't do it, actually, because of that. I had just uprooted my family, you know, and wasn't really down to go back to L.A., and my agents were like, from the rare times, I hate to admit my agent was right. He's like, well, look, you don't know. You could win an Emmy for a thing like this. I was like, oh, I don't think this is the kind of role you win an Emmy for. And sure enough, I won an Emmy for it.
There you go.
All roads lead back to Emmys in this conversation.
Well, it's all about personal achievement and celebrating yourself. I think,
and
that's what we've learned.
Especially during these troubled times. I think if all of us could have that attitude right now about how can I get the most for myself right now? That's what we all need.
When I need to feel better, I turn around and I look at my beautiful New York Emmy that I won 5 years ago as a team and had to pay for myself. I look at that and I talk about, and all of a sudden,
you mean you show one, and then in order to get one for yourself, you had to pay for it?
That's correct. Yeah.
You know what? I would get, the Simpsons just won a Peabody Award. And I
really?
I just sent this thing, an email to, yes. And for like lifetime, I don't know what kind of a job. I don't understand what we even won for. I guess like contributing to society or something, broadcasting. And then I just got this email today that if I want one, I have to pay for it. You know?
Yeah, it's $250, and it's probably the worst $250 I ever spent.
I think the Peabody was only $150. So
how is a New York Emmy $250 and the Peabody's $150? How is that possible?
Let me look this up. Let me see if that information is correct. But I'm pretty sure that's what they said.
Hank Azaria with us.
Anything interesting happen today in the world of sports? Anything? What's going on?
Alex Cora was screaming and yelling about, not screaming and yelling. He was apologizing for everything that he did, but, you know, I was very annoyed that he was getting positioned along with Beltran as this two-headed genius, evil genius at the center of the entire Astros scandal, and took out Jeff Luhnow, their general manager, specifically about it.
You threw Luhnow under the bus about it?
Well, yeah, because Luhnow has positioned it since the beginning that this was run by Cora, and this was all Cora. And Cora, Hank, if you take a look at what he had to say, he apologized the way that we always want people to apologize when they have screwed up royally. He was so detailed in how wrong he was and how wrong everybody who was involved was, in the midst of calling out the hypocrisy of the GM, that it makes it more credible, and it actually doesn't make you feel like he's pointing the finger elsewhere. It was impressive.
No, that's interesting. Well, Luhnow, yeah, has. I think it's safe to say that he's proven himself to be of questionable character up to this point.
Yes.
Sounds like it holds water, what Cora is saying. By the way, a Peabody actually is $400. Just the certificate is $150. Just the certificate. Really? $150 just for the certificate?
Do they frame it for you? Or is it just coming a rolled up, you know, piece of cardboard?
Like a tube? I don't know.
Let's talk about Brockmeyer for a few minutes, Hank. It was such a great show, and I know such a passion project for you. The great Hank Azaria is with us. Were you satisfied with how it wrapped up with just kind of the conclusion that you brought it to when you decided to, that this was going to be the fourth season was going to be it?
Yeah, beyond satisfied. I mean, the thing, by the way, seasons 1 through 3 on Hulu right now, if you want to binge it, if you haven't seen it. And season 4 will drop on Hulu next Tuesday, I believe.
The 16th, yes.
Just in time for Emmy voting, Chris Carlin.
What a coincidence.
Bring everything back to the Emmy. I know.
For your consideration.
Beyond, the whole thing was beyond my expectations. It was funnier and deeper and smarter. And that's not me. That our head writer, Joel Church Cooper, just kind of outdid himself. And right place, the right time. It's a young writer, you know, we found and was like, this guy's really talented. And it was his first, you know, show that he ran. I'm sure he'll go on to do many amazing things, I have no doubt. But we just got lucky, you know, catching a tiger by the tail. And, maybe we'll circle back and do one. I'd love to go back and we finished the narrative we wanted to tell, but I'd love to go back and do like another bonus track season of like Brockmeyer's lost years, like rumbling around in Southeast Asia, wasted out of his mind.
Calling the cockfights in the Philippines.
Yeah, calling cockfights in Lithuanian wife carrying competitions and things like that.
That would be fantastic. And listen, I am in for watching that because I watched the entire series and it is a perfect binge watch series because, you know, you're invested. It's 30 minutes per episode. And it's 4 seasons worth, but you really get a tremendous amount of laughter out of it. It is an incredibly well-written show, but your character of Brockmeyer is just—it was absolutely off the charts, fantastic, and amazing how it all kind of just came together out of you as a sports fan, as a kid developing this amalgam of broadcasters that you loved.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. I mean, look, as a mimic, which is basically most of my career, it's just me kind of spitting back voices I've heard. Some are deeper than others. It's a character study, you know. Some are just kind of surface funny, and some, if you're lucky, and some are, you get more in there with. And this just, you know, worked out that it was, I hooked up with a writer who kind of got it along the way that I saw it, the way that I did, and then brought his own perspective. I was raised by the TV, Chris. I'm 56 years old, and I've been rewatching a lot of the old Johnny Carsons lately, like from the 70s and 80s, and which was the exact era where sort of the Brockmeyer idea was born. You know, that 70s generic baseball announcer voice, so all these guys from TV, whether it was sports announcers, sports itself, Carson, you know, Brady Bunch, Bugs Bunny, Partridge Family, Love American Style, then on through the 80s, you know, into Family Ties, whatever you want to. I really took in a lot of life through the television, and so these things really mean a lot to me. It's definitely born out of the kind of affection that a lot of people have for the voice that brings you the description of the games of the teams that you love, right? I mean, it really, you don't realize how much that sneaks up on you and how much affection you have, like an uncle, like a beloved uncle or something.
Well, there's no question. It really becomes a soundtrack of your life when you think about it growing up. I will never forget how aggravated my father was looking at me in the car, driving home from opening day in 85, when Gary Carter hit the home run, and we left early because I had baseball practice. And hearing Bob Murphy describe it and hearing just seeing the anger on my father's face really made it extra special.
See, Bob Murphy is kind of a Brockmire if he smoked about 4 packs a day. I feel Bob Murphy. I love Bob Murphy's work on Bowling for Dollars.
Personally. Oh, it was great on Bowling for Dollars. The jackets, oh, that was amazing.
Spin the revolving drum, pick your pin pal. My Bob Murphy sounds like Clark Gable for some reason. But.
Well, those were merits he was smoking. So, that's true.
Remember the big whistle, Bill Chadwick? Remember him?
That one's predated me a games? Little bit, but I know the name.
The big whistle, Bill Chadwick. You know, like, oh, I would say about every other broadcast, you hear this in the middle of a Rangers radio game. Oh, Bill DeSchaefer. Whoops. He would announce how he just spilled his beer all over his, all over his table.
Oh, well, it's fantastic. Before we let you go, just how has this all now kind of affected your schedule, whatever you were planning on working on next? Has everything kind of gotten put on hold? How have you seen it really affect Hollywood here over the last few weeks?
Well, Hollywood is kind of at a standstill while show business, like a lot of other businesses, sort of reinvents itself. And nobody knows how that's exactly going to turn out. But I read an interesting article, like strange things might happen, like movie theaters might not be able to survive all this. And by when it's all said and done, they all might be owned by, you know, either Amazon or Apple or Netflix or what have you. And so movie theaters, as we knew them, they'll still exist, but they'll become sort of, even those will get co-opted by, you know, all these streaming services that are basically taking over the world. That's not definitely going to happen, but I heard a pretty credible scenario that it might. Nobody knows when, like, shooting will start again. I mean, like actual. I mean, we were lucky that I still do The Simpsons, and they sent all this equipment to my house so I can record at home. So talking about silver linings,
yeah,
it's kind of gotten easier for me. Like a lot of people, you know, we might be able to realize how much they can actually get done from home. And I think a lot of other animated shows have been calling The Simpsons to ask how they're doing it, because a lot of them shut down and a lot of them are sort of coming back up now, using the model The Simpsons created to keep going. But, you know, no one knows when shooting's going to start back up. It's really, really, some people aren't going to make it, like in a lot of businesses. I mean, a lot of channels, I'm sure are going to go down. Curious to see how it all shakes out.
I have one final question. You were generous enough, about, I don't know, a month or two ago, when you put together a massive online poker tournament to raise money COVID. And this is not in relation to what you think it is. And so myself, Maggie Gray, Stu Gatz, Dan Levitard, we're all kind of some sports people that were taking part of it. And I'm in this waiting room online. And John Hamm comes into the waiting room and announces himself as Hamm Bones is here. Does John Hamm actually call himself Hamm Bones?
I've known John for many years. I never heard him call himself that before. He is a man who enjoys laughter, enjoys the sound of laughter, and I know he's a real comedy nerd at heart, John.
He was fantastic and, on Curb this year.
Yeah, I heard he was really great. I haven't seen it. But, no, I never heard him call himself that before. But thanks for, I know we had technical difficulties.
Well, but you guys did an amazing job in raising all that money, and you've done a lot of it, and so many charitable endeavors with that, raising money to help COVID relief. And You know, listen, you know I'm a huge fan of all of your work, and Brockmire was a fantastic show. If you have not seen it, seasons 1 through 3 on Hulu now, and season 4 coming up starting next week. By all means, check it out because it is freaking hysterical. The great Hank Azaria giving us some time tonight. Hank, always good to talk to you, man. Thanks for
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.